to, like, put a language warning on this one. You've let a couple slip out.
It just is. Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. I'm enunciating.
I noticed this.
Yeah.
Well done.
I took it down one notch.
Just one.
Just one. Yeah. We're at like seven notches, but I took it down one.
Okay. So
eight is too many.
Eight was too many, and now you're at seven?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I am Brandon.
And down one notch.
Just one notch. Okay. Just. All right.
You're good at a seven?
Yeah.
All right. I like that. What are we talking about this week, Brandon?
Well, you know what? It's a very important week in cinematic calendar.
Correct. But tell me why.
Well, it's because the Oscars are on Sunday.
They are.
And, you know, award season's pretty long, and there's a lot of awards, and
yep.
No one really cares about them anymore.
Correct, but also, yeah.
I still think the Oscars
are
important. I like a lot of different kinds of movies,
mm-hmm.
and I've said this before, but yep. I like any kind, like, really bad B-movie, mm-hmm. horror, whatever.
I agree.
Monster mash type of movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a really hard, critically accepted drama.
Yep, me too.
So.
Or a little, I don't know, indie film, low budget.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And so Oscar season's really my chance to watch some critical darlings, low budget women talking in a barn type of movie. And I appreciate that.
I do too. And there are movies that I like.
I say women talking in a barn like it's a bad thing, but it's not actually a bad thing because it was a really good movie.
Yeah, so. I really like that. Yeah, I like that too. And that's a movie. So a lot of these movies that are critically acclaimed do not get wide enough releases for us to watch them.
Yeah, you can't, like, even if you wanted to, you wouldn't see these in a theater sometimes. And I don't know. I mean, this year there's actually more
shocking amount, lots that I had
more
heard
crowd pleasers than you would expect. But I don't know. I just I like Oscar season, and I like watching different types of movies.
Yeah. Well, that is what we were talking about this week. Is last time about this time of year, we did our own Disney A Oscars, and you got to be super judgmental.
Yeah, and I'm gonna do that again.
Yep, that's exactly what we're gonna do. So
I am Mr. Judge.
You are the decider.
I am.
So I have 24 categories because there's 24 categories in the Oscars.
That's many categories.
Yep, same as we did last year.
Oh my goodness, okay.
But they're different categories than last year.
So I have to be like snap judgments. Yep. Snap judgments.
Before we get to that, though, is this your nerd thing, Oscar movie watching?
We've been Oscar movie watching like crazy.
I know we're about half done now. We're gonna get her through. Any standouts right now for you?
Well, so Fablemans.
Yeah.
I liked a lot. I don't think it's actually Best Picture, but it was just like
self-fulfilling,
mm-hmm. self-referential. So I enjoyed it.
I did
too. Like inside school type of thing. It was probably a little too inside school, but whatever.
I really like the Fablemans. I've actually liked all of them.
Yeah, there hasn't been a dud this year. There hasn't been like a super standout.
If I was recommending one, like, hey, what really critical one? We haven't watched a couple of the ones I'm most looking forward to yet, but I'm actually Women Talking like hit pretty hard. For me,
Women Talking is a very good film. Mm-hmm. It's not super accessible. Like,
no.
if I was recommending someone to get into like your Oscar bait type of thing, I would say The Fablemans is it's Spielberg. He
totally
he can make a tough to watch film. Just Spielberg.
And this was not tough to watch. This was great.
It was
highly recommended.
It was Spielberg face. The film.
Yeah. It was I really liked
There was literally a scene where there was a Spielberg face watching a Spielberg face while we were Spielberg facing watching a Spielberg.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Okay, so also, what are you drinking?
A lot.
No, I guess that's why you had to take it down to seven.
I just had to just take it down to a seven.
But what are you drinking right now?
Just a nice peach gin.
Yep.
peach yeah. bubbly.
With the gin that we got in the duty-free shop on the way back from Mexico.
A delicious Hendrix gin. Yeah, it's got a cork in it.
So it is travel-related that way.
There you go. Ooh,
that was a reach.
That is a Mr. Fantastic stretch.
Good job. That was great phrasing. I'm drinking a cranberry neutral. My nerd thing is I'm going to do two. So one is Oscar watching, of course. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is it is March, which means it is Disney bounding month.
Yes, you've done a little bit of Disney bounding so far.
A couple years ago, I did one every day. And then last year and this year, I've said most school days, I'll probably do one because I think it's fun. A couple of my students actually remembered me doing it last year. So when I showed up the one day and I was wearing a very kind of cool outfit, they were like, something's up. So they asked. And I explained, so now they want to guess every day.
Was that the Pete's Dragon Day?
That was the Pete's Dragon Day. I was Elliot.
The Pete's Dragon Day was pretty good.
That was a good one. They're like, they said, I got so many compliments on just what I was wearing. And then one kid was like, there's something up. You're dressed very spring-like for here. And anyway, so most work days I probably will, or if there's one that catches my eye, but I'm not stressing about it or anything like that. And all my Disney bounds are ones that I have to be able to function in Canadian winter still. Well, and yeah, like teaching and everything.
That's
so.
The thing. March is still full on winter here.
Yeah. So
what
you know,
can you do?
Some of the things you'd have to be like a little bit, like maybe wouldn't be like I could wear to work or anything. So then I'm just not going to do them on those days. That's all.
That's fun.
But it's super fun. I really like it. It's creative and it's fun.
I like Disney bounding.
Yeah.
At Disney. Though.
Yeah.
I like
you trying to guess what I'm being.
I'm not very good at
it. No, but like, and you also don't often know what the category is in advance either.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Also, we have Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 1, spoiler-free gut reaction. Brandon, what did you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was enjoyable.
I don't like how short Mandalorian episodes are, but it worked, and it was good, and
so
I liked it.
I liked it, except I wish they had dropped two episodes at once. Because it's short, and this one felt like there was definitely stuff that happened, but it definitely was also build up. And Mandalorian does this, right? They have an in-between and then a big episode, and then an in-between and a big... Like, there's transition episodes every other one, almost.
I just feel bad for the people that didn't watch The Book of Boba Fett.
Correct.
Because that would be kind of jarring. They had a little bit of a recap, but not enough. Mm. For
correct.
It like if you were just like, I like The Mandalorian, I'm gonna watch 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you'd be like, what is happening?
It wouldn't make any sense. But you just gotta catch
them
all.
Well, that is one nice. Like Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Just like
that
Pokemon.
Is one like some people would see it as a criticism or maybe a reward if you do of Disney right now with all the MCU and all the Star Wars and everything like that,
yeah.
Is it's like you can't pick and choose anymore. You feel like you have to watch everything. And some things I think are more than others. MCU has been able to like weave pretty well through it. But more and more, it's like every single title that comes out is more and more ingrained in previous ones.
You get rewarded for watching, which
yeah,
I like.
I do too.
But it also, then you have something like Ant-Man where it gets dinged by the critics because it's not,
yeah,
it's not a standalone movie anymore. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what the right answer is. They should stand alone, but also I think you should reward your seasoned base who that watches everything. So it's a tough balance, and I'm glad I'm not Kevin Feige. Although it would be nice to be Kevin Feige because millions of dollars and all that.
All that, yeah.
So you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So here's also where we typically do a review. Or a shout out or something like that if we've gotten a new review or anything. And last week, I read an update to a review. Remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. And our updated review was from Lindsay.
Yeah, Lindsay.
Oh, well,
Lindsay kicks butt.
Lindsay does kick butt. And I just want to say she just was talking to me about whether or not she should do the Disney Bound challenge.
Yes, she should.
And she literally did her very first one today, and she just posted it. Let me see. Okay, so today's was Chillin' Like a Villain, and it's great. She even has an Ursula necklace. She's Ursula. She even has an Ursula necklace and
everything. Nice purple sweater.
Right?
I like it.
And
good for you, Lindsay.
The white scrunchie in her hair for Ursula's white hair, but I just want a shout-out because Lindsay's awesome, and B, shout-out, she did my favorite villain.
That's, wow. Ursula did nothing wrong.
Ursula did nothing. We literally have an episode.
It's a hashtag.
We decided. Let's head to the news.
Disney A News Update.
Food and Wine has started at Disneyland. We are going to, actually, that's our topic for next week, is we're going to discuss the full event. So let's just say, hey, it started, and jump over it and be sad that we're missing it this year.
I took a deep sigh because last year,
it was so good.
We went to Food and Wine. Mm-hmm. This year, we will just have to vicariously look at the menus. But anyway, okay.
Yep. Okay. All right. That's
Food and Wine has started, yes.
We have a Haunted Mansion poster and teaser trailer. What did you think of this? I know it's just a teaser.
I don't know.
Are you nervous?
I don't know. It is what it is. I liked the Halloween, like
the Muppets one.
The Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good enough for a full movie. Like
we're gonna see. It's a little cheesy.
Yeah. It's a little cheesy.
I'm a little worried because if you go cheesy for a special is fine. You go too cheesy, you're back in Eddie Murphy territory.
Yeah, and like I watched the Eddie Murphy. Haunted Mansion. Not good.
No, there were a couple good moments, but and the only good moments was stuff that also was able to fit into the cheesy Muppets thing.
Yeah.
But it was the Muppets that was better.
The cheesy Muppets thing was great. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, I did too.
This is like trying to tread on that same territory as a feature film that doesn't have the Muppets. But
it's also got some like weird stuff going on, and I hope they lean into the weird and creepy.
Danny DeVito can do no wrong.
Can do no wrong, and I love Rosario Dawson, and she's in it.
Rosario Dawson can also do no wrong. So.
And I liked Hatbox Ghost Sighting. That was great. They threw in some stuff.
And Owen Wilson's like, wow.
Owen Wilson. So anyway, I'm optimistic. I'm still excited. So that's out. It snowed in Disneyland. This was crazy. It literally snowed in Disneyland. So I put it in the news.
Not the snow.
No, like, actual snow.
Actual icy snow.
Yeah. I mean, it melted like almost as soon as it touched the ground.
Well, it was like measured in minutes, but...
But it snowed.
All the Southern Californians like... had a freaking meltdown.
Well, the other thing is, nothing is built for this.
True.
And I mean, we were there during heavy rain,
still,
and stuff wasn't built for the heavy rain, let alone actual snow. Melted as it hit, you know what? And that's probably
good. I would
good.
Take a little light snow before I had the heavy rain.
Well, agreed. But anyway, that is crazy. That was cool. A lot of the Californians probably, our snow is not a very common sight, let's just say that.
Meltdown.
Yeah.
Meltdown.
See, it's funny because it melted as it came down. So speaking of the Oscars, do you know that they actually have a couple Oscars treats and photo ops at Disneyland right now, like this week and I guess into next, yeah,
up till
the Oscars,
the animated stuff, or?
No, just like 95th annual Oscars celebration.
Oh,
there's like
the
a
95th,
I think so, yeah, so there's like a display.
Okay. So it's the 95th.
Yeah,
in five years.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big deal.
But yeah, there's a photo op, I guess. And there's a couple treats. I think one's like a Jolly Holiday. And they're like gold and dessert-y type things.
2028. Mm-hmm. Mark your calendars. A big...
It's going to be nuts.
Deal.
And Magic Happens Parade is now returned to Disneyland. This was much lauded, much looked forward to. Yeah.
Well, what happened when it originally premiered?
What happened? Yeah. We're laughing because on Instagram and Facebook, all of these like last things we did before everything shut down are showing up in my memories, and I'm just waiting.
the Facebook memories from 3 years ago are an
a
experience.
Little, yeah, it's a little experience. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, any other news to add on, or can we go to the main topic?
Nothing specific.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard a bugaboo that Marvel's like pulling back on their Disney Plus release schedule.
I don't like that.
Like Loki might come out in 2024. They want to only release a couple, maybe three per year Disney Plus series.
Well, to be fair, they went a little crazy. They went there, a little, but that was during COVID.
A little much. I don't know. I've liked every Disney Plus series.
I have too.
In Marvel,
you know what
and
I think.
Star Wars.
You know what I think they should do then, if they're going to not have the full shows, have a few more specials. Like
the specials are the winner,
right?
Like,
that can be your in between. If you want to pull back a little bit, do an hour long special.
Yeah.
Werewolf by Night was fantastic, for example. Yeah, just do that more.
Do that more.
Yeah.
I also did see that Feige did reaffirm that Moon Knight has a future in the MCU, and so
okay,
that's good.
All right, all
right. Some good news, bad news situation. I don't know.
All right, well, let's see what happens anyway.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head. It's just content.
Oh.
Ah. Disney A grab bag.
Main topic.
Well, I'm keeping that in there. Okay, so before we get into ours, as we did last year, let's run through how Disney is nominated in all the categories very quickly.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I haven't paid attention.
Yeah, I have a list.
Okay.
So, Best Picture, we have the big one is Avatar, The Way of Water.
Yeah, they bought that, so does
so
it
they
count?
Did. So they it does. It's under their umbrella. Mm. Best Supporting Actress. This is a big one. This is probably
This is really big.
This is probably the one I'm most excited that for the nominee. Mm. I mean, I don't know if she's gonna win or not. We
no.
haven't seen all the 100%
things. 100% no. This is an honor to be nominated situation,
and
but that's fine.
Well deserved nomination though. Yeah. She worked her actress Angela Bassett for Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. For cinematography, Empire of Light, which I don't know what it is, but apparently that is a...
It's an empire.
And of light.
And they have some light.
Yep. Production design, Avatar, The Way of Water. Visual effects, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Avatar, The Way of Water. Not surprised on that one.
Avatar should probably win, because that's the only good thing about that movie.
Costume design, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Okay,
just so you know, Black Panther won in the first one. The first time they nominated.
Like, the original Black Panther's costume design should have won, and I'm glad it did. Like, they do a really, really cool job designing costumes.
Yeah, so good. We haven't looked at all of the things yet, but right now I'm like, yes.
We were fortunate enough to see the traveling Marvel
show. Oh, that was so good. Yeah.
That went to, like, different science centers.
Yeah, just before COVID.
It was literally just before COVID. And it had a bunch of different costumes, and like Black Panther was heavily featured in that. And then we saw some of the costumes actually at California Adventure in the Studio 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
Store, and they had some Black Panther costumes on
display.
Black Panther has probably the best costumes in the MCU.
And that's saying something, because costumes are a huge thing in superhero movies.
They're hit and miss in the MCU. Yeah. Sometimes they do a really good job, and sometimes they... But Black Panther, like, even the surrounding characters, and they pull from some, like, cultural stuff, and it just, like, do a really good job.
The costuming is so representative of everything that is good about Black Panther movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, definitely a great nomination for this one. And then tied to that, Black Panther Wakanda Forever was also nominated under makeup and hairstyling.
Yeah, I could see it. They had some... It's probably not going to win. There's some definite standouts for makeup, especially, but
yeah. So best sound was also Avatar: The Way of Water.
What else is nominated for sound? I was thinking All Quiet on the Western Front should win for sound.
I will pull up the list in just a second.
That, like, if it's not nominated, I'm gonna be very upset.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. The Walt Disney Company owns Searchlight Pictures, correct? Searchlight Pictures did The Banshees of Inisherin.
Okay, yeah. No,
so there are not nine nominations.
When they bought Fox, Fox Searchlight, yes, they did a lot of critical darlings.
That is nominated for Best Picture, Director, Actor, Supporting Actor, Another Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, Original Screenplay, Film Editing, and Best Original Score. Wakanda Forever has five nominations. Those that we've already discussed. Avatar: The Way of Water has four nominations. Empire of Light has one. Fire of Love, which is National Geographic documentary. So that's for feature. And a live action short. And Turning Red is nominated for animated feature. Yeah, that's the Disney company. Are you looking up sound now?
I am. I also just want to look at animated.
Oh, sure.
Feature. Mm-hmm. Just because Disney doesn't win animated feature a lot, but that's where they've done their business. Okay. Best sound.
Mm-hmm.
We have Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, yes.
Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Mm-hmm.
Avatar. The Batman.
Oh. All Quiet on the Western Front is your choice so far, but we haven't seen Maverick yet.
We haven't seen Maverick. Or Maverick Elvis. Might be good, but like the sound did strike me in All Quiet on the Western Front. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's in the title, but besides,
yeah, no, I get it. Besides, yeah.
Like they did good stuff with the sound. I mean, yeah. It's a little easier with a war movie because you got your bombastic war stuff going on, but yeah.
Okay.
I that would be my choice if I was voting.
Okay, so animated.
Queso, that's cheese sauce.
First of all, short film animated. We don't have any Pixar or.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hey.
That is interesting.
But yeah, for feature we have Turning Red, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, The Sea Beast, and Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
Oh, I do remember that Puss in Boots got
nominated. Yeah, too, which is like kind of interesting. What?
Good for that. Good for Puss in Boots.
That it's is an honor to be nominated for them. Just so you know,
a sequel of a spinoff to be good enough to be nominated—that's
something.
Like and like, it did well, and like everybody liked it. And so, you know what? I want to watch that movie. And
that actually makes me want to watch it more. Yeah.
I haven't even seen the original Puss in Boots, so yeah. I don't know.
Okay, let's get into our categories now.
Okay.
Are you ready? You gonna be judgy?
No.
No, it's great. I had so much fun making these categories.
Oh my goodness.
And I highly recommend you go back and listen to last year's. Oh my goodness. Okay, ready?
So, before we get to that, though.
Oh.
What do you think should win Best Animated out of those options?
Well, we've only seen one, but I think it should be Pinocchio.
I think it should also be Pinocchio.
The reason is, everything I've seen that he does is beautiful. And I think doesn't...
The little small clips I've seen of that Pinocchio looks really
like,
cool.
Like, hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah. So I think
him having fun with animation is great. Mm. So I actually really liked Turning Red. And I wouldn't be disappointed if it won.
Doesn't strike me as the best animated film. Like, it was fine.
And yay, Canada. It's the Canadian one.
It is the Canadian... The Canadian one and the boy band one and
Puberty one.
Yeah, the puberty. I mean, there's a lot of puberty movies.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, here we go. Category number one.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome to the second annual Disney Oscars.
Oh, I feel underdressed. Oh my goodness.
All right, here we go. Best first line in a Disney animated film. That is the category. And the nominees are... All this has happened before, and it will happen again, but this time it happened in London. Peter Pan.
Mm, that is a good... it's good.
This is the story of how I died. Tangled. Long ago, the world was full of wonder. Onward. Pretty, huh? I'll bet a lot of you folks don't believe that, about a wish coming true. Pinocchio. And once upon a time, in a faraway land, there was a tiny kingdom. Peaceful, prosperous, rich in romance and tradition. Had to include Once Upon a Time in there.
Yeah.
There's some good ones.
There's some good ones.
Yeah.
No, it's the first one.
Yeah, it's so good. Peter Pan, isn't that amazing? That's beautiful.
That comes out of nowhere. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's some rough writing in Peter Pan, let me tell you.
But that one just hit you.
Damn. Yep. No, that's...
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Congratulations, Peter Pan.
Yeah, no, that's well-deserved.
Our second category is best first line from a Marvel character. A theme for a couple here.
Okay.
Our first nominee is, I am Groot. From Groot.
His first line and his second line.
His last
third
line.
And his last line. Yeah.
Our second nominee is, on my left, got it. Sam Wilson.
Captain America.
Yes. Our third nominee is, they killed a little frog, they ain't done nothing wrong. Peter Quill.
Hmm.
His mother.
He's your daddy.
Nope. His mother was asking him why he got in trouble for fighting at school.
Hmm.
I am Iron Man, spoken by Nick Fury. That is his opening line in the MCU. Did you know that?
That is some wild trivia, because no.
Yeah, he's like reading a sheet, and he's like, we see him in an after credit scene in Iron Man.
Yes.
When he goes up to Iron Man, when he goes up to Tony Stark, and he reads it, and he's like, really?
Really?
But that is his opening line, is I am Iron Man.
Wow.
So Nick Fury's opening line, and kind of Tony Stark's closing line is the same, but we do get the video with Tony Stark after, in which case his closing line is, I love you 3000.
Hmm.
Join me, and together, we will build my new Lego Death Star. Ned leads.
That's a...
honor to be nominated.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your... And the winner is...
Oh, my goodness.
Are those fun?
That is fun. You're going to have to go through the list again. Like, or just show me. I'll just show me. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with I Am Groot,
because
I am Groot. I love Groot. Yeah. I am Groot.
I am Groot, right? That's so good.
I am Groot.
Okay. Best first line from an original Star Wars character. So original OG trilogy here.
Okay. Like, they're all probably original Star Wars?
Yeah, so original trilogy character. Mm. All right. Why, you no good double-crossing swindler, Lando Calrissian.
Mm.
There is a great disturbance in the Force, the Emperor. Hello there. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes!
Lord Vader, I should have known only you would be so bold.
Mm.
Leia Organa. Han Solo, I am the captain of the Millennium Falcon. Ooh. Han Solo. Name drops the Millennium Falcon, though.
No, sorry.
Yeah,
it's hello.
It has to be.
It's hello. I'm sorry.
It has to be.
Also, there's better Han Solo lines, so...
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's fair. Okay, so our next category is the best blue animated Disney or Pixar character. And the nominees are Cinderella in her gown from Cinderella.
She's only kind of blue. Okay. Yeah.
Sadness from Inside Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Genie from Aladdin. Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. Or Eeyore. He feels awfully blue from Winnie the Pooh.
He's like metaphorically blue.
He's metaphorically blue.
It's obviously the Genie. Obviously. Any Disney character list, the Genie is at the top.
Okay, yeah, no, that's not wrong. I know, that's not wrong. Everyone else was an honor to be nominated in the same category as Robin Williams.
Just feel privileged to be in the same category as Robin Williams. Like, no.
Our next category is the best cheesy Disney Halloween movie. And the nominees are...
Halloween Town. Halloween Town 2.
The Black
Cauldron.
Calabar's
Revenge.
The Black Cauldron.
Oh. Hmm.
The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy.
Ugh.
Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
Or Zombies?
Oh.
You having PTSD from
I am
zombies?
Having PTSD from the zombies.
You just flinched.
No. No, okay. It's Halloween Town.
Yeah, I literally could have done all the Halloween
if
Town
If you said movies. Best Halloween Disney movie, it would be Hocus Pocus. You said best cheesy
I did.
Halloween movie.
I did.
It's Halloween Town. Halloween Town is just cheesy, like, gross.
Halloween Town is the perfect... Disney TV movie.
Yeah.
It's exactly
it's Disney
what it should be
Disney
done.
Channel, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
also love, but also, yeah.
Hocus Pocus is, like, solid-ish. I don't like it as much as most people, but, like, it's not as cheesy as
Fair.
Halloween
yeah.
Town. So, the category was cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
It's Halloween Town. Sorry.
Fair enough. This is one of my favorite categories. And I actually made a joke about... I listened to our last episode. I made a joke about making this a category in this next time.
Oh, my goodness.
The best Lin-Manuel Miranda song from an animated movie. And the nominees are...
Ooh, this is a tough category.
Right?
Yeah.
It was hard to only come up with five nominees.
Yeah.
The nominees are... You're Welcome from Moana. Shiny from Moana. We Don't Talk About Bruno from Encanto. Surface Pressure... from Encanto,
so
and Dos Arreguitas from Encanto. Literally, they're all so good, but in different ways. Okay.
And technically, Hamilton could be...
No, it said animated.
Animated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how I did it, because otherwise it would have been a whole thing.
Wow. No, I have to go. I really, really like Shiny.
Yep.
But I have to go with Surface Pressure.
Oh, it's so good.
I do. Like the Spanish one that I can't pronounce.
Das Oraguitas?
Yes. The two butterflies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Is probably actually the best, but yeah. Like Surface Pressure is so good.
Yeah, I agree. That's like in my top three favorite Disney songs of all time. Do you know how hard it is? I'm a child of the Disney Renaissance. Do you know how hard it is for a modern movie now to break into that?
Yeah, no, it is better than most of the Disney Renaissance.
And that just speaks to him. Most. Let's stay on the song category.
Okay.
Best song about friendship. You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story.
Yep.
If I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc.
No.
A Friend Like Me from Aladdin.
Nah.
That's What Friends Are For from Dumbo. And The Best of Friends from Fox and the Hound.
No, you've got a friend. Like,
you're overshadowing the genie you just said. No one beats out the genie.
Yeah, but that is not a friend song. It's a humble brag. Like flexing song. It's not about friend. They just met each other. It's an introduction song. It's not about friendship.
Do you know that You've Got a Friend in Me what played during our wedding?
Yes, actually. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Right? So did Kiss the Girl, but
Kiss the Girl I walked down the aisle too. Yeah. So So did Rainbow Connection. That was our parent dance. Yeah. We had a lot of Disney.
Why? What happened?
Yeah. We have a whole episode about that, actually. How to incorporate Disney in your wedding without having a Disney wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. You can do it, like, not super cheesy.
Yeah.
Just a little cheesy. Yeah.
Well, what it was is we had the instrumental versions of a lot of these songs, like, during dinner and stuff like that.
You can incorporate, if you really want to go for it, you could incorporate the instrumental version of, like, the Avengers theme.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's some good, cool stuff. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean instrumental.
So... we're gonna talk wedding and other cool stuff. My sister's getting married this June.
Aww.
And there's some nice little details. Let's just say that there's some nice little details.
She won't incorporate any of them, but we can talk about
them. There's something incorporated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's to do with music. But anyway, let's keep with the song ones. The best song during a montage in a Disney animated movie. Isn't this a great fun category?
I have my thoughts.
I don't know if they're nominated. You have to tell me if it's even nominated. Something There from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, okay.
Hakuna Matata from Lion King.
That is a montage. Yeah. It's true.
I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
One Last Hope from Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
And Son of Man from Tarzan. Did it make it?
Yeah. Oh,
they did. Okay.
Yeah. I'll Make a Man Out of You is the best.
It's so good.
I don't love Mulan, but I'll Make a Man Out of You is the best Disney montage.
Mulan was in the move out of the Renaissance for me.
Yes. Yeah. It came after Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it more than Pocahontas.
I love Pocahontas.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We disagree on this.
Oh, so much. Okay. But anyway, it's a great montage song.
Perfect montage. Yeah.
The best scene of a character being impaled.
Damn! Okay.
From an animated or live action film. And the nominees are Shuri in Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, she did get impaled. Spoiler alert. Damn.
Olaf in Frozen, who actually makes a joke about it.
He gets impaled several times, probably.
But he says at one point, oh my, I've been impaled. Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Oh, she gets super duper impaled, yeah, by a ship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty as a dragon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Barbossa and Jack during the sword fights where they just keep trading back and forth, impaling each other with swords, from Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. So that's a double nomination for Curse of the Black Pearl.
I really want to pick Pirates, but it's Ursula. She's giant and she gets impaled by a ship and it's just awesome.
That is a crazy scene, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good death scene.
It is a fantastic death scene.
Our next category is saddest character in a Disney or Pixar animated film.
Sadness? Eeyore?
Nope.
Well, then you've lost
Quasimodo from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
He's not that sad.
Jessie in Toy Story 2.
She's not that sad.
During She Loved Me.
Yeah, well, that's a sad song. She finds Senior Buzz.
Not at that point.
Nah, she
Carl Fredrickson after Ellie.
No!
And during
get out! No! That is cheating. No.
Bing Bong saying take her to the moon for me in Inside Out, or Cub Simba making Mufasa hug him.
Get out of here, Cub Simba.
As he's lying there dead.
As if he didn't just sing a song that I can't wait to be king. Get out of here, Simba. I have no sympathy for you.
He's a child.
No sympathy for Simba.
Okay. Winner is...
I can't believe your or sadness is not nominated in the sadness category. Nope. The two sad...
Too easy.
It's Bing Bong.
Yeah. Over Carl?
Yeah, Carl gets over it.
Bing Bong dies.
Bing Bong's dead. Bing Bong's dead. So.
Oh, God. Okay. Wow. Okay.
The first 10 minutes of Up is the saddest thing that you've ever seen in an animated movie. But
ever. Ever. And in most non-animated movies.
Yeah. It's Bing Bong, though.
That was a cat.
You told me to be the
what
judge.
What an upset. Okay,
yeah, it was an upset. Yeah. It was an upset. It's a little bit of a snub.
But
I feel a little bit bad about it, but...
That's okay.
Carl moves on.
Yeah.
Carl does the right thing.
Carl finds closure.
He does find closure. Yeah, he gets Doug.
And he honors Ellie.
He gets Doug.
And he gets Doug, yes.
And he honors Ellie. He goes on an adventure with Doug. Yeah. So he's happy. Yeah. Because dogs bring happiness. It's like when you watch the depression medication commercials and they get a dog at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that fixes their depression. So Carl's not sad anymore. Bing Bong just straight up dies.
Okay.
Yeah.
His last thing he will ever know is sadness.
Yeah.
Disneyland resort attractions that should most come back. That we most want to come back. Most deserve to come back. If money and infrastructure was no object.
People Mover.
The nominees are Captain EO from Tomorrowland.
Nah.
Flying Saucers from Tomorrowland.
if they worked, yes.
You lost us. Okay. Superstar Limo from Hollywood Pictures Backlot.
God.
Muppet Vision 3D from Hollywood Pictures Backlot does still exist in Disney World. Or the People Mover from Tomorrowland.
It's a People Mover. Sorry, that's a terrible category, but it's a People Mover. None of those other ones should come back in.
Muppet Vision?
No. Get a real ride for the Muppets. I love the Muppets. They deserve more than just
give them a land.
Yeah. A Muppets land. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. The best underrated Disneyland attraction.
Hmm.
And the nominees are the Main Street Vehicles, the Storybook Land Canal Boats.
I feel like this is a trap.
The Sleeping Beauty Castle Walkthrough, Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island, or the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
I'm gonna go with the Pirate's Lair.
I thought you might.
I really enjoyed that, and it is literally off the beaten track.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see a lot of Disney from that island, and you also get a ride out there on the rafts. And I don't know, I like Pirate's Lair, and there's some cool pirate themed bathrooms out there, so
that's true. And later we were walking by, not when we were on the island, but we saw pirates serenading people over there, and it's a whole thing.
It might be one of the best places to poop in Disneyland.
We should do a whole episode.
You
best
could.
Bathrooms in Disneyland.
You could do best bathroom, the Fantasyland ones that are by the Royal Theater are pretty good.
I like where it moves from Fantasyland.
Fantasyland has a couple good bathrooms.
Yeah, there's right. How about the Alice in Wonderland ones by the Matterhorn?
Yeah, those were fine.
Okay, we're getting off task. Anyway, best dark ride based on an animated Disney film, and the nominees are The Little Mermaid, Ariel's Undersea Adventure, Snow White's Enchanted Wish, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan's Flight, or The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Are we taking into account, lineup time?
I'm just asking you the best dark ride.
Best one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really hard.
I know.
Because, I don't know, Peter Pan is probably the best, but it's not worth the lineup that is traditionally there.
Correct.
Maybe let's
just ignore the lineup.
So, ignoring the lineup, Peter Pan wins.
Mm-hmm.
Flying through London on the pirate ship is pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
And it's a classic.
But I will say, if we're just saying a ride that we're mm-hmm. I'm gonna want to ride mm-hmm. more.
Yeah,
it's Winnie the Pooh.
I agree. I think that's exactly the right response.
It's off by itself. It's really easy to get on.
And who doesn't love Winnie the Pooh?
It's a fun ride.
I also like the queue for Winnie the Pooh better.
The queue is fine. Alice in Wonderland is also a pretty good ride,
too. Actually, and they did a really good job with Snow White's Enchanted Wish.
Yeah, the updated Snow White is pretty good, too. You didn't even have Mr. Toad on there.
No, I didn't, because I knew that would win.
That's my favorite.
I know.
I like me some Mr. Toad.
So, last year, we had Best Fantasyland Dark Ride.
Did I say Mr. Toad?
You said Mr. Toad.
Yes. Bravo me,
I will
Mr.
say,
Toad.
This time we rode Little Mermaid a lot.
Yeah, well, so Little Mermaid's in California Adventure, mm-hmm. so it should be in its own little category. It's like basically the only, well, you got Monsters, Inc. and Little Mermaid.
Yes, Monsters, Inc. almost went on this.
Traditional dark rides. Mm-hmm. And Little Mermaid's better than Monsters, Inc.
Yep. I agree. I like Monsters, Inc.
Because
it's
an Omni mover, so it doesn't line up like Monsters, Inc. does.
Correct.
These days, so.
The best Disney or Pixar animated dragon. And the nominees are
goodness.
Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty, Mushu from Mulan, Elliot from Pete's Dragon, even though it's not an animated movie, Elliot.
He's animated.
Elliot is animated. Sisu from Raya and the Last Dragon, or Blazy, the little pet dragon, from Onward.
Ugh. I like Onward, but no.
Yeah.
Elliot.
Yeah.
Is fine.
No, Elliot, I love.
He's cute. It's Maleficent.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fine.
That is a cool dang dragon.
That's a cool dragon, and they made a great job of her in Fantasmic.
Fantasmic dragon, like Maleficent dragon. Phew!
Yep.
It's a way to bring some fun male fantasy to a princess movie.
Fair. That's fine. Yeah. And you have the most traditional fairy tale moment in this Sleeping Beauty movie,
yes,
because you have Prince Philip literally
killing
the
dragon.
Slaying the dragon. It's the only time when that happens.
And that is traditional fantasy, which is why Shrek, which is your traditional fantasy parody, has the whole dragon slaying scene. Yeah. It all comes full circle. Also, Shrek is awesome.
Shrek is awesome. Next category is the best ornate costume worn by a Disney male. So these are not casual wear.
Okay.
We're in our costume makeup category
right
now.
Is this animated or live action?
Animated. Oh, no. Either or. In an animated or live action.
Because, like, animated, is it a costume?
Yes.
It's not a costume.
Captain Hook's red coat and hat ensemble from Peter Pan.
He
is fabulous. Prince Charming's attire for the ball, specifically from Cinderella.
Get out of here, Prince Charming.
Sorcerer Jafar, this is the black and red from Aladdin.
Jafar had some style.
Yep. So this is specifically Sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
The Beast, blue and gold jacket for the dance, with his hair in the pony.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Beauty and the Beast.
Now.
Or.
Yeah.
Bert's dapper striped jacket from Jolly Holiday from Mary Poppins.
No, it's the Beast.
Oh, good answer.
It's the Beast.
Good answer.
Yeah, if I was going to be one Disney character, it would be the Ballroom Beast.
Oh, that's a... Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
Ding.
If I was one Disney character, I'd be Belle, so I'm not complaining. And the Beast is better than...
The Beast can lay it down.
He can dance. He can groove.
He can...
And give me a library.
Give you a library. He can also give you the gray stuff. He's got it all. He's the whole package.
It's delicious. The best makeup in a Disney film, live action or animated. The Honor to Us All scene where Mulan meets the matchmaker from Mulan.
Okay.
The Evil Queen's flawless complexion and intense eyebrows from Snow White.
She does. The Queen's eyebrows. We have a whole episode
about
it.
Yeah, is that literally called the Queen's eyebrows?
Mm-hmm.
Queen Amidala in full Naboo makeup, including the Scar of Remembrance from Star Wars Phantom Menace. Mm. Clea's, Charlize Theron's, purple eyes in the end credits of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
You know, that's a little bit off the board, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Charlize Theron. You know,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians with the bright green eyeshadow and the bright red lip.
Animated or?
Animated.
Live. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her makeup is more striking in animated, whereas her hair and costuming is much more
true
of a thing in the live action.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we did a whole costume section on Cruella last year. So
we did, yes. Cruella's costumes, both animated and live, like, well, I mean, the main character in the live action was the costumes.
Yeah.
I am getting off topic. It is Queen Amidala.
I figured you'd go that way.
Natalie Portman is...
But a queen. Crazy makeup in that,
yeah,
hey?
No, just, like, super crazy makeup, and she goes for it.
Yeah. Did you know that was called the Scar of Remembrance? The red half line down her bottom lip?
I didn't know.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, it's a traditional Naboo makeup.
It was some cool world building that they did with Naboo really that they, like, kind of didn't go anywhere with, but...
That's a big problem with a lot of the prequels for me, is they had a lot of potential stuff that they, like, half went in on, and then they, like, backed up.
That's...
And the sequels, quite
that's
frankly.
George Lucas in a nutshell. He can world build, like almost no one else, and then, but, like, can't...
Translate it
to a good story. There's a lot of talk of his ex-wife was... editor of, like, the original trilogy. She kind of, like, brought him back.
Oh.
And in the prequels, they were divorced at that point, so he didn't have the choppy chop of the strong editor at that point anymore.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
So in other words, women fix everything.
I mean, that is the theme of Star Wars in general.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Except if you're Anakin, then women don't...
No, he screws it up on his own. If he'd listened to the women, it would have been fine.
He does bad things for his mom. He does bad things for his wife.
That's him, though. All right. The best female character without a love interest in an animated feature or short. Your
Moana.
Nominees are Merida from Brave.
Yeah.
Moana from Moana.
No, that's your top two.
Lieutenant Judy Hopps from Zootopia. Kanga from Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
And Elsa from Frozen Part 1.
Okay, just Kanga.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Where did Roo come from?
That is a great question. We're assuming that there was a terrible hunting accident.
Is he like Winnie the Pooh Jesus? Was it an immaculate conception?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's cool. All right.
It's Moana.
That's fair. I'm surprised you didn't go Merida, but Moana's awesome.
I like Merida a lot. Moana's better.
So what's interesting is part of Merida's character development is on the not wanting love interest.
She, like, actively chooses not having a prince, which is really cool. And Merida's Scottish and probably drinks a lot of scotch and is really
and
cool.
And has some great... It's not a musical, but the background music is just beautiful through that.
Yeah, you got some bagpipes and all that. Mm-hmm. I like Merida a lot. I think Brave is a highly underrated Pixar 100% film.
100% agree.
Moana. Just a little bit
I'm totally fine with that.
Just
and I like that it isn't even a question with Moana. It's just, like, not part of her
character. No, it's not a thing. Yeah. No, yeah.
The best Disney earworm song. And your nominees are We Don't Talk About Bruno from Encanto.
Yeah, that's your number one seed for sure.
Agatha All Along from WandaVision.
Okay.
Hakuna Matata from Lion King. Under the Sea from Little Mermaid. Or The Bare Necessities from Jungle Book.
Those are all earworms. Those are all earworms. The earwormiest earworm is We Don't Talk About Bruno. Mm-hmm. Like, it...
I say it, and right away you're like,
it just is an earworm.
Yeah, like, it is.
It might not even be the best song from that movie.
It's so freaking...
But it's an...
It's not a bad song.
No, it's a really good song. Mm-hmm. It might not be the best song from that movie, is what I'm saying.
Agreed, yeah. You didn't pick it for best song.
No.
By him, yeah.
But it's...
It is the most earwormy.
It's worms in your brain.
The best colorful, as in this character is all colored, Marvel character. And the nominees are Gamora.
She's very colorful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Hulk.
He's just green, just super green.
Nebula.
She's blue and...
Purple and...
Green.
And apparently has black eyes.
Beautiful black eyes.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man has some beautiful colors. I'm not even sad
and
about that.
The Vision.
Oh, man. There are some colorful manga characters.
Oh man, there were so many. I had to.
Just wait till next year. You're gonna have a full on yellow and blue Wolverine.
Because I'm gonna
stake my reputation.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a comic accurate Hugh Jackman in a Wolverine yellow and blue costume.
Okay.
In Deadpool 3.
I love it.
I'm staking.
Deadpool almost made this list. Honestly, Iron Man almost made this list.
Deadpool wears the red pants. Because so he doesn't bleed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the whole thing.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Oh my goodness. I'm gonna go with the Hulk because his whole thing is his purple and green. It's his thing.
All right.
It's the Hulk.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I love the Hulk.
He goes green.
Yep.
Like yeah.
Going green is a thing. Like yeah, that's yeah.
It's like turning red actually played off of the Hulk.
Yes. Turning green.
He wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Hulk. It's the Hulk. I'm confident in that answer.
I like that. Yeah, I actually probably would pick the same.
Mm.
The best woo MCU moment.
Oh my goodness.
The nominees are
many.
Cap picks up Mjolnir for the first time in Avengers Endgame. He's a friend from work from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I am Iron Man from the first Iron Man. I'm always angry. From the Avengers. Or Avengers Assemble from Avengers Endgame.
So you got two Endgames.
I do.
Which has like the woos per minute, which is it's a really long movie.
So just so you know, I had to replace because I also had On Your Left.
Yeah. No. Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Was the wooest.
Mm-hmm.
But damn.
Mm-hmm. There's some. Oh, there was a lot. Just wait, because next category is the saddest moment from an MCU film.
Mm.
Not MCU in general, because otherwise WandaVision would have been on here. And the nominees are Peter Parker Doesn't Feel So Good from Avengers Infinity War, Natasha's Goodbye and Jump with Clint from Avengers Endgame, Peter Parker saying goodbye to Aunt May in Spider-Man No Way Home, Yondu saves Peter Quill and Yondu's funeral from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and Tony's final I Am Iron Man goodbye in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, those are all tough. Those are all tough, but it's Spider-Man.
Doesn't feel so good.
I don't feel so.
Oh really. Yeah. Oh friggin' yeah. Right?
That's the only one that I've sat in the theater beside a child that was bawling his eyes out, so.
It's true. I cried on all of these.
Well, yeah, but.
What is your saddest MCU moment? Is it one of these?
Yeah, I would say Infinity War, Spider-Man dying.
I think that one probably was the most. Like, it was the whole thing, because it was just one after another.
Like, there was a lot going on. Everybody was dusting the first time we watched it, though, and like it's not like I sat there crying.
I did.
Whatever, but like it really struck me when we walked out of the first time we watched Infinity War how much it was like a funeral.
Yeah, it was crazy. The saddest moment for me in that, I don't know if it would have been for you, so it didn't get nominated, is Wanda being dusted as she's still kneeling where Vision is, like, over Vision's dead body.
Yeah.
And having just done all of that, my saddest moment in the MCU for me is Vision and Wanda saying goodbye as
in WandaVision.
In WandaVision. Because she's very well aware of what's happening. And I think that's why Spider-Man was for me as well, because he's very aware. The rest of them, it just happens, and some of them might have this, hey, what's happening? They're calling up for people. But then the last one being Spider-Man.
Well, Tom Holland milks that scene, but the in-universe, like, explanation is that his spider sense is Peter Tingle.
Yeah, it's Peter Tingle.
lets him know that there's something wrong going on.
Yeah,
and
then it happens, and it's happening to him.
Yeah,
and then you have Tony holding him, And then and he's upset, but then Peter's and then he starts saying it's okay, like he's comforting Tony while he's also dying. Like, it is freaking messed up. Yeah. I agree. I think that's the winner.
Yeah,
the winner or the loser, whatever. Although Yondu saving Peter Quill, I was so mad that I was bawling my eyes out in Guardians Volume 2. Like, I was mad at myself.
Yondu.
To be fair, I also cried in Guardians 1 with freaking Groot. Okay.
We're not even going there for Guardians 3.
No, everything's going to be fine and happy and no one's dying.
Fine.
It's fine.
Rocket's going to be fine. Drax is going to be fine. Everybody's fine. Everyone's Mantis. Dying. Everyone's dying.
No. The Star Wars planet you most want to visit. The nominees are...
Naboo.
Tatooine.
No.
Coruscant.
You know, kind of.
Is it Kashyyyk or Kashyyyk?
Kashyyyk? Yeah. Yeah, that's where the Wookiees live. Yeah.
Bespin?
Cloud City,
Or Naboo.
It's straight up Naboo. Like, come on. That place is a paradise.
Yeah. Naboo is...
Tatooine's, like, literally a backwater shithole. Coruscant would be kind of cool if you were super rich.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, no.
Kashyyyk looks kind of cool. There's, like, oceans and water and trees and... Yeah.
Wookiees don't like other... Like, yeah. Wookiee would look at me and be like, well, I guess you're kind of tall. I don't know.
And I would die.
Yeah. No, it's Naboo.
I think it's Naboo.
Naboo is a paradise.
Naboo is the winner, and then not nominated in this category, Endor.
Endor would be, like, well, so... You're thinking Endor, the moon of Endor.
The moon of Endor, yes, sorry.
If you had, like, some cool Ewok guides.
Yeah. If they were not against you.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, we saw the greatest video of Disneyland. There was a little kid dressed like an Ewok and was wandering around Galaxy's Edge.
And the stormtroopers were really scared of him.
Stormtroopers ran away from him. It was adorable.
I mean, if I was a stormtrooper, I wouldn't want to mess with an Ewok either. We've seen
he was like,
happens.
Whoa. All right. We have only two categories remaining.
Oh, I hope they're big ones. They better be big ones. You save the big ones for the end.
And the nominees are the best train or train-like transportation at Disneyland Resort, the runaway train on Big Thunder, the Casey Jr. Circus Train, the original Disneyland Railroad, or the monorail.
Monorail. It's Big Thunder. Sorry.
I'd go railroad, but I totally get it.
No, it's Big Thunder. Big Thunder is wonderful, and you just look at the goat.
And
you have a good time. It's Big Thunder.
We had so much fun on this one, being like, because we rode it so many times.
We rode Big Thunder.
It was like the
lot.
Most. Yeah, it was most ridden this time. And we'd say things like, well, "It's fine. It's fine. Okay, like that part's done. But as long as there's no rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes are the
oh no. There's rattlesnakes.
We made people laugh so much.
Yes, right? Like we had actual people giggling at us because we are losers.
Okay, that part's fine. As long as there's no goat chewing dynamite. Well, that's so rare. Why on earth
that would happen. It could never happen.
Oh, my God. Okay. And the final category is...
Better be a big one.
No.
Nah.
The best method of transportation in an attraction in the Disneyland Resort.
Method of transportation in an attraction.
In a Disneyland Resort.
A Disneyland.
Resort.
Resort.
DCA is also included.
Monorail.
And the nominees are... The glider from Soarin'.
Okay.
A jungle transport from Indiana Jones.
Hmm.
The automobile merrily on your way to nowhere in particular from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Your race cars on Radiator Springs Racers.
Ooh.
A bobsled from the Matterhorn Bobsleds.
Oh,
or a doom buggy from the Haunted Mansion. And the winner is...
Suddenly, you are turning and dropping suddenly. Is Indiana Jones.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
And you got to drive a couple times this last trip.
I've actually driven...
Like a fair number.
I've been in that seat a few times.
I have once or twice. That's fun.
I don't fit in that seat as well as the other ones because like the whole steering wheel actually bangs my knees. But
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I'll stop giving you the driver's seat then.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I have to brace my knees in that ride all the time. When you're 6'6", you have to... You just do normal, whatever. I love Indiana Jones. Ride. I hope their refurbishment is good on that one.
I actually had special category, which was things, refurbishments we were most looking forward to at Disneyland. But I don't know the next time we'll be at Disneyland, so I...
It's Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. No, I was thinking you might pick the big... Like, San Francisco was on the list. Indiana Jones was on the list.
Toontown
was on the list.
I am...
And the treehouse.
I am most looking forward to the treehouse.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And then second...
Indiana Jones.
Toontown.
I am so surprised.
I just... Like, the bar is so low for Toontown.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That, like, Indiana Jones are just going to fix things and it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Toontown...
Needs so much work.
It needs so much work that maybe it could be good. I don't know.
I'm surprised you had the treehouse as number one. I'm not mad at that, actually. I really like that answer.
Okay, so we went through the 24 categories that you came up with. What is your best Disney movie of 2023? As a bonus category.
Okay, is that including live action? Like, is that everything. Marvel?
Everything. I don't even
of
know.
Of 2022, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, 2022, yeah. Last year.
Oh, God, I have to think what even was included in there. Let's pause and look this up.
What would count? Spider-Man wouldn't count.
Spider-Man wouldn't count. Thor, Love, and Thunder. I actually originally had most disappointed Disney moment of the last 5 years. Toy Story 3 was on the list, though, so that would have won. Toy Story 4 would have won.
Don't you to be smirched, Toy Story 3.
No, Toy Story 3 is amazing.
Toy Story 4,
and then Thor Love and Thunder was on the list. And then the lack of announcements at D23 about Tomorrowland. Okay. Strange World, Disenchanted, which we never watched, Lightyear, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, shockingly amazing. Pinocchio, Turning Red, Hocus Pocus 2, Ice Age, Buck Wild, which you didn't watch, Night at the Museum, Wakanda Forever, Thor, Love and Thunder, Zombies 3, Rise, Cheaper by the Dozen, Sneakerella, which we didn't watch, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Death on the Nile, Deep Water, the Bob's Burgers movie, See How They Run, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Does that count as a film?
Yeah.
Sex Appeal, where I don't know.
I really
Werewolf by Night.
Guardians of the Galaxy and Werewolf by Night specials.
Yeah, but those are specials. Let's not count those.
It doesn't really count.
The Banshees of Inisherin, Amsterdam, Prey. Ooh, Prey.
So
Not Okay, The Princess, Empire of Light, and Grogu and Dust Bunnies, apparently. I don't know what that is.
Out of all of those, for me, it's Prey.
I'm not mad at that answer. That is so good. Prey was so good.
Prey was, just a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, resurrected the Predator franchise.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was so good on, like, so many levels.
Really, really good. And then, like, honorable mention goes to Chip and Dale because that should have been terrible. Mm-hmm. And it was actually really fun and did a good job.
Okay, so I don't want to pick the same one you did because Prey would be, like, high on my list.
Prey was so good.
Prey was shockingly good. Like, it was amazing. Actually, I just saw another, like, on YouTube, it just popped up as an ad for Disney Plus, and they just pick random ones, and they did Prey, the last one I watched, and I was like, oh my god, I want to watch that again. It was so good. One of my most recommended movies of the last year, actually.
The only knock against Prey as the best Disney movie of 2022 is that they just straight up bought it from Fox, so it doesn't really count. Fair. But whatever, it was really good. I don't care, it was good.
I'm choosing between two here. One is Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Like, I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. Again, you said when you're watching it, who is this made for other than, like, us?
It's for cynical millennials.
So millennials, like, you're being rude.
Okay, that is a little bit redundant. I am sorry. But yes, it's for millennials.
Yeah, okay, and then my other one is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I liked it, but I didn't love it, and I wanted to love it.
I really enjoyed, like, the really creepy horror stuff. And I liked Wanda.
I wished they had given Sam Raimi free rein to make it, like, a full-on horror film.
They had a lot of really moments, though.
Yeah, it wasn't quite there for me.
Okay.
It wasn't quite there.
There were... So right now I'm really liking it, but it's kind of like, so no secret, WandaVision is my favorite MCU show so far, correct?
Well, it was like probably the best one. Yeah. Close
and it was the
best
first one. So, but anyway, but I said what they do with coming stuff is going to be dependent, because it lost some points with certain places for me. It's still probably going to be the best, but I mean, there's certain things where it was like, you know, they didn't quite Ralph Boner is what was, it was Ralph Boner. Evan Peters thing, right? Which knocked against it. Now yeah, Wanda exactly. In Multiverse.
If it wasn't for that, it would be like the best by
unreachably the best.
Yeah.
Wanda in Doctor Strange and Madness really elevated it for me. And I liked all the creepy Sam Raimi stuff, like that just did, like visually was crazy. But if they screw up Wanda now in the MCU after this film...
Oh, she's dead. She's not coming back.
Right. It's going to really color this film for me in a negative way.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have been so much more, so that's why I'm...
Agreed. I would have liked to see more worlds. More multiverse.
More worlds, and like, I get why they murdered the heck out of the Illuminati, but... Like, I would have liked to spend more time with you.
Before they got terribly murdered?
Yeah. I don't know. It was the first MCU Fantastic Four, and like, I'm just so tired of being disappointed by the Fantastic Four. So.
Okay.
Speaking of Fantastic Four, the screenwriter for Kang Dynasty, the first Phase 6 yes. Avengers film, said that X-Men and Fantastic Four have no part in it.
Interesting.
Even though the Fantastic Four will be debuting before Kang Dynasty.
But it's its own thing.
That was their words exactly, is Fantastic Four is their own thing. Which is fine, because Secret Wars is going to be your big Marvel orgy, for lack of a better word.
I have to like put a language warning on this one. You've let a couple slip out.
It just is. You're gonna have your X-Men. You're gonna have your Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like Secret Wars is gonna be
the crazy.
Crazy. Kang Dynasty is probably gonna be a little bit. Yeah. A little bit more muted. You're gonna have your like actual new Avengers doing
right. Yeah,
and they're gonna lose, and then Secret Wars is gonna be
crazy.
It's yeah.
Okay. So. You've almost sufficiently talked me out of Multiverse of Madness for my favorite, so I'm going to go Chip and Dale.
Rescue Rangers.
If we're not counting the specials, because quite frankly, I think Werewolf by Night and the Guardians Holiday Special are my favorites.
Those two were, like, that. I agree, they were really good, and that's why if MCU is pulling back from having, mm-hmm. like, series, mini-series, mm-hmm. they should lean into the specials, because... All their specials have been good.
Right. Well, they've only had two, but they've both been amazing. Yeah. But that's a way to like keep the Marvel fans happy and give them like a little bit of something without going into a whole thing.
And it's an easier ask to have audiences watch an hour special than it is to have like a 6-hour
show
mm-hmm. where you have to keep like. Watching Multiverse of Madness without watching WandaVision is not as good.
It's just not as good.
Can't ask audiences to watch.
Okay, so our
show.
Last one, Ant-Man and Wakanda Forever, our last two. What mm-hmm. do you recommend people watch before that? Loki. Because of He Who Remains.
For sure, you have to watch Loki for this whole multiverse saga.
What If? Or is that going to mess with you more?
If you you have to watch at least a couple episodes of What If for Doctor Strange as mm-hmm. well.
Okay, what about Wakanda Forever? I think you're fine as long as you watch the first Black Panther movie. And Ant-Man, if you watch the first couple Ant-Man movies, and then Loki.
You gotta watch Loki.
Otherwise you're like, who is this guy?
So, If I would have said, like, if you were putting me on the spot and said you had to watch one Disney Plus show for Phase 4, it would be WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to watch one for Phase 5,
it's Loki. Okay. All right. This is fun. Do you like being judgy?
I am very judgy, but I don't know.
Anything to add on this as we close out?
What's your, so far we've watched five of the Best Picture nominees.
Yeah.
What's your pick out of the five?
One that should win or just the most enjoyable to watch?
No, your pick.
The Fablemans.
The Fablemans?
The Fablemans. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to win.
No, no, there's no zero chance of Fablemans. Yeah,
but it was...
I don't even know what the front runner is, but it's not the Fablemans.
I think it is Everything Everywhere All at Once, you know, which I'm very much looking forward to.
We haven't seen it, but I would have watched that regardless.
Me too. In fact, we didn't watch it because we knew it was going to be nominated. Well, and we're like, well,
kind of, sort of.
We weren't in a hurry to watch it because of that.
But that would have been on my list regardless if it was nominated, which is, I can't say for a lot of these films.
Right.
So I would be very happy to see something like that win because it's probably an easy watch.
Yep.
And super fun. And also, it's a multiverse movie, which it really, is. Really helps the MCU at this point, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it doesn't hurt it, that's for sure. So, I'm looking just quickly, like, just based on what the other things have won during the awards shows and everything.
Everything Everywhere All at Once has a lot of momentum for award season. Like, Michelle Yeoh has won a lot.
BuzzMeter's consensus pick to win the Oscar this time is Angela Bassett for Wakanda Forever.
Seriously?
It says you may consider it a lifetime achievement prize.
Well, okay.
But that is a front runner.
And the Oscars are big on lifetime achievement awards, and she hasn't won before, and she's like an incredible actress. I would be utterly shocked if she won for that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
know. She was like the best part of that movie, but I don't know.
Current picks to win are Everything Everywhere All at Once, followed by The Banshees of Inisherin.
Really?
Yeah. Which is the most nominated and the second most nominated.
Which doesn't always mean a lot.
No, because it depends on the type of movie it is. Mm-hmm. Once you throw in sound and everything. I actually really like The Banshees of Inisherin. That would probably be my second. Ooh, women. I think it would go for me, The Fablemans, then Women Talking, then The Banshees of Inisherin. I literally laughed out loud a couple times during that movie.
I did.
And cried.
I did laugh out loud at Banshees of Inisherin, but maybe I was a little cynical. It just...
Tried too hard.
The war is pointless allegory after having just watched All Quiet on the Western
Front.
Yeah,
there is that.
It was a little bit too on the nose for me, even though it was trying to be funny at this. I don't know. Everyone did a good job in it, and it,
yeah,
like whatever.
There's a reason there's a lot of acting nominees in this movie.
But no.
What's your favorite? Fablemans, you said before.
Fablemans so far out of the five. I'm hoping I really like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm hoping I like that.
Me too, because I was really looking forward to
everything I've heard about it makes me think I will like it.
Yeah.
I just really want to like it.
Yeah, I know. That's fair.
I will be very sad.
First came out.
If I don't like it,
yeah.
I will be very sad.
I'm totally good with that. It's also like a lot of people who are really into like nerd pop culture stuff really like this movie.
Yeah, it's super nerdy. You got Trot Round in it.
Yep. Jamie Lee Curtis is like,
yes,
really
Jamie Lee
well
Curtis
lauded.
Is in it.
And I adore her. Tar is also,
you know what?
Doing well.
I really liked Tar as well.
Tar was like uncomfortable for me.
Well,
but it's supposed to be.
It's
I understand
supposed to
that.
Be. It gave me Black Swan vibes. It gave me Whiplash vibes because of like, the music
like a
thing.
Mix somewhere in there.
And it also gave me a little bit of The Father vibes, which was
probably
my favorite film last year.
I loved The Father. Oh that was, like you
like,
said, it was almost a straight horror
not
movie.
Not a fun film, but like really good.
For those who happen to be planning Vegas trips.
Oh, I would like to go to Vegas.
These are the ones that are like the odds.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Everything Everywhere is a solid favorite.
For Best Picture?
Yep.
Yeah.
With Banshees next. Followed by Top Gun Maverick.
I don't know. Just so you know, it's Vegas odds.
Yes.
So Vegas puts odds based on the bets they get. And I will say that the Toronto Maple Leafs, unfortunately, have very good Vegas odds a lot of the time because there's a lot of Leafs fans and they bet on the Leafs to win a lot. So as a Top Gun Maverick was a very popular film, people would see that on the list and just like put a couple bucks
down. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
You just kind of take that with a little bit of a grain of salt.
So anyway, those are your Vegas odds. Anything else to add?
I really hope I like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm going to be really, really upset if
I don't. It's nominated for so many things. I think in a couple categories it's going to split because there's like a couple acting ones in there.
Acting, sometimes it's split, sometimes they just like talked amongst themselves and figure it out.
Figure it out. Well, anyway, we will be covering this in the next couple weeks. Yeah.
Well, it'll hit the news on our next episode.
That's true. So we won't have it in our next episode, but we'll have it in the one after that.
Yeah.
And good luck, Disney.
Maybe.
It depends on what it is.
Yeah.
So contact us on our social media or through our website to chat. You can suggest trivia, you can suggest topics, or just to say hi. That is our show this week. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work as well as all of our social media links at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, where you can also email us. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I think we should tell El Mule to watch Tar. He likes a strong movie. He does like a strong movie. The music aspect. I think you should watch Tar.
Let's tell him. We're seeing him next weekend.
I think you should watch Tar.
We're seeing him immediately before the Oscars.
Yeah, I think you should watch Tar. I think he would appreciate it.
You know what? Why don't I post up on our Instagram story about watching the Oscars? And you should live tweet.
The Oscars? I should live tweet the Oscars?
I think you should.
Okay. You know what? I'm in.
All Instagram, you live tweet. Let's do this.
And you make the snacks.
I always do. Yeah. Well, anyway, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook as well, and Twitter, where you should follow us because we're going to be posting in stories and live tweeting, apparently, the Oscars.
Apparently.
That's a good idea. We haven't done it before.
I will live tweet the heck out of it.
You're hilarious.
Hopefully, we get home in time.
We will.
For the red carpet, because I will live tweet the heck out of the red carpet.
We actually watch the pre-red carpet stuff typically, but we're definitely going to watch some red carpet coverage.
For a straight white male, I do a really good job at judging the heck out of red carpet
outfits. You really do. It's actually really funny. let's have a chat with El Mule about Tar, and let's live tweet an Instagram story the heck out of that. Yeah. So if you want to watch the Oscars and follow along with us, highly recommend. It won't be as fun as our Oscars, of course, our Disney A Oscars we just had.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe a little less obscure.
I don't know. The voting membership might be a little more diverse than the real Oscars. Yeah. But not one. not just one.
Well, I don't know. You basically would be the same as the who is voting in the other one.
Okay. Yes. Whew.
You can also find Disney episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms.
You went there.
As well as our YouTube channel, Adventures A. I feel like I should apologize. I'm so sorry. That was a little political.
Yeah, I mean, the truth hurts, right? Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, if you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you so much. And if you haven't yet, please do. It actually helped us out a ton as well if you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, I'm posting if I've got any cool Disney bounds going on this month. So you should probably check that out.
Disney bound month.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, but you will.
Should I Disney bound for the Oscars?
Oh, probably.
There's a category, which is Disney at the Oscars.
Oh.
So I'm not sure.
I think you should.
I have to give some thought. I don't have a plan yet for that one. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please recommend us as well. So next episode, like we said, is going to be talking about the food and wine event at Disneyland. And we're going to be sad.
A little bit sad, but we're going to hype up anybody who else gets to go.
It's true. And a lot, there's some repeats from last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we can really hype up the stuff that we know and that was really good.
The Snickers macaron is on the list.
Snickerdoodle macaron. Okay. What about like the brisket thingy? Is that on?
I don't think the brisket is, but the pork belly is.
pork belly. And there's also the at the beer cart, they have the
IPA sausage dog.
They have the IPA sausage dog. It's not quite the same as last year, but it's close. Mm-hmm. And that was like,
it's on a pretzel bun.
That was like mm-hmm. a winner for
yeah,
me last
really
year.
Yeah, really liked that one.
Yeah.
Also, they have margarita flight this year.
Oh.
Yeah, not a mimosa flight.
Olay.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. So until then, I'm Krista.
And I am Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney AM.
That is not a friend song. It's a humble brag, like flexing song.